Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 39. It was nearly 11:30 when Boris opened his eyes. A regular and low rumbling from deep within the planet was ebbing away as he blinked his eyes and lowered the covers from his chest. The effects of a half-liter of vodka, 10 hours of flying, and several hours in taxis felt as though they had been reversed by a long night's sleep. The realization that in a little more than 12 hours the crates would be placed onto a truck and headed for Mecca caused him to slide out of bed and head for the bathroom. He evacuated, splashed water on his face, and grabbed his razor and cream and placed them in the shower. He let the warm water run over him until he was finished shaving and then turned the hot water down for a few more minutes. He tried to focus on its coolness so he could refer back to this moment when the desert heat tried to distract him from his mission. He took out his cell phone and turned it on. Within seconds, he had texted Kolibnikov. The table is set. The food arrives at midnight, and pressed send. Within seconds, the answer came back. Hope everything comes. He turned the water off, dried quickly, and brushed his graying hair in the mirror. He took out his cell phone and turned it on. Within seconds, he had texted Kolibnikov. The table is set. The food arrives at midnight, and pressed send. Within seconds, the answer came back. Hope everyone comes who was invited. He had asked for a late checkout. He would be riding with the truck tonight from the dock to Mecca and then straight on to Medina in the cool of night. Today, he had to act like a tourist. There were perhaps 3 million tourists here this week, but it was impossible not to stand out as everyone else was wearing what appeared to be white bedspreads for the Hajj. Khaki pants and a white shirt with a wide-brimmed hat and sunglasses didn't make the best disguise, but then any foreign agent following him would probably look the same way. Still, he knew Mahmoud was a shrewd man. He would have his own agents following him to make sure his royal guests were protected. He was probably battle-trained and knew that the more perfect things appeared, the more dangerous they could actually be. He grabbed his roller bag and his shoulder bag and closed the door behind him. He walked down to the lobby to turn in his room key. They would scan his passport again, alerting the government that he had checked out and was scheduled to check into the Medina Hilton, one of the most popular hotels in the city. If everything went smoothly, he would be checked in before 4 o'clock tomorrow. He looked at the clock on the wall above the hotel desk and noticed it was almost exactly noon. "No, that is all right. I will pay the bill in cash, if I may," said Boris to the desk boy. "Yes, sir. Right here, sir," said the desk boy, pointing to the amount on the printed receipt. "I enjoyed my stay very much," said Boris, leaving an extra 20 rial note on the desk. "Please see that the room staff gets some of this, will you?" "Okay, yes, sir. Thank you, sir," he said. Boris knew they would never see a dime of it. It was generally accepted practice to cheat an infidel, even in the simplest contracts. Centuries of scarcity are hard to overcome in a society. He turned to roll his bag for the door and noticed Mohammed standing outside his cab with the trunk lid open. He was smiling. "Good afternoon," said Boris, pushing the lobby door open into the searing desert heat. "Good afternoon to you, sir. I am here, as you said, noon sharp," said Mohammed. "Let's go to the trucking company again today," said Boris. "We are on our way," he said as he closed the trunk containing Boris's roller bag. Boris climbed in the back seat and grabbed one of the water bottles in the console cup holder that Mohammed had provided for him. It wasn't chilled, but it was wet. Within a few minutes, they arrived at the trucking company. "I will not require your fine service any more this trip, my friend. Here is a special tip for you to have a good week," said Boris, handing him an extra 100 rials. "It has been a pleasure to drive you, sir. Should anyone ask me about you, what shall I say?" asked Mohammed. "Say, he was a good Russian man going his way," said Boris. "Yes, sir. Masalama, sir. said Mohammed as he grabbed Boris's roller bag out of the trunk and placed it on the asphalt parking lot. Boris watched the middle-aged man drive away, knowing he had given him more money than he had seen from any fare probably in his lifetime. He walked through the green door of the trucking company and into a barely air-conditioned office that was probably 50 years old. "Hello, Mr. Boris," said the dispatcher. "It's a fine day. Is there somewhere safe I can place my bags for now? I want to meet your brother and see this rig you have, just to make sure everything is in good shape," said Boris, immediately putting pressure on him to perform. "Yes, sir. The truck is here, and so is my brother," he said, opening a small closet in which Boris rolled his bag. They walked out of the office onto the service floor, and there in front of him was a beautiful white Freightliner tractor with a small sleeper on the back. "Very nice rig," said Boris. "Yes, sir. American-made. We bought it in Bahrain after they went home." "This will do nicely. You never know about these things. It is why I'm checking," said Boris. "You must be Boris," said the deep voice behind him. He turned around to shake the hand of the voice and noticed he was quite tall for an Arab. "Pleasure to meet you," said Boris with a slight question to his tone. "I am Saeed, the younger brother. I do the road driving," he said. "Your English is better than mine," said Boris. "I was educated in New York in business. Someone had to do it, right?" asked Saeed. "Absolutely. One can never have too much of an advantage these days," said Boris. "We are a little ahead of schedule, Boris. The Moor is due to dock at 9 o'clock tonight due to favorable winds. Depending on how deep we have to go into the boat to get our container, we should be out of there by 11 o'clock or so," he said. "That is excellent. Traffic should be less, and we can let Mahmoud know at the palace when to have his unloading crew ready," said Boris. "That gives us about 3 hours before we need to head over to the port. We have a lounge upstairs with a TV. Would you like to rest for a while? It's going to be a long night," said Saeed. "That's a good idea. Up those stairs?" asked Boris. "Yes, there is a small refrigerator there with some juices and water as well," he said. "I'll be ready when you are," said Boris. He climbed the stairs and entered the air-conditioned lounge. It was large by Arab standards and had a large, clean couch that seemed inviting enough. The TV was on some Arab-speaking channel, and the language was too fast for him to understand what the newscaster was saying. He was still a little groggy from the vodka the night before, so he decided to tune it out and pick up a magazine instead. He opened the fridge and grabbed a grape juice, unscrewed the lid, and sat down on the couch. Within minutes, he drifted into a dreamless sleep. "I see you have fallen under the spell of our couch," came the deep voice of Saeed. Boris opened his eyes and felt remarkably re-energized. "How long was I gone?" "Actually, about 2 hours. We're going for an early dinner down the street. Would you like to join us?" asked Saeed. "I think I will. It's the first time I really felt hungry since I arrived," he said. "Something light, I think. Lamb kebab and some hummus, perhaps a salad," said Saeed. "Sounds good. Mind if I bring this juice? I already opened it." "Sure, we'll take our small van. Come on, we'll get my brother and his wife." The two men walked out of the lounge and into the blistering desert heat made worse by being near the shop ceiling before they went down the stairs. They walked outside into the bright afternoon, and Boris could feel the battle between the cooler air from the Red Sea and the arid desert air from the east. Boris drained the rest of the juice from the bottle and tossed it in the trash. The dispatcher rolled into the parking lot in a white van with his wife in the front seat next to him. Saeed slid the door open to the second set of seats, and he and Boris climbed in the cool van and closed the door. "We're off to a good place to eat. Very close, small, and friendly. You'll like it, I'm sure," said the dispatcher. "I appreciate the invitation," said Boris meekly. "It is nothing. You have traveled far and are doing good business with us. It is our custom to feed our friends, Mr. Boris," said the dispatcher. "I am sure you have many," said Boris. "Yes, sir, everyone knows us," he said. The four people rode the few blocks in silence from there. Boris looked out the window at the contrast between the occasional extreme poverty of people living on a lot full of junked-out buses and the shops and offices along the coastal frontage road. Within minutes, they pulled into the small parking lot of a pink building with two large plate glass windows and a covered outside patio. There were two large round tables with hookahs in the center of each one. They walked into the empty restaurant and selected an inside table to take advantage of the air conditioning. "Masau al-Kahir," greeted Said in his booming voice. A small, round man with a bright smile came out, wiping his hands on a clean, white apron. "Al-Kahir al-Nur," he responded, and he grabbed the taller man and bobbed his head once to each side as though to kiss him on each cheek. "Welcome, my friends, to my establishment. I have some excellent food for you this afternoon. Please be seated, and my daughter will bring you some apple juice and a salad if you like." "That would be perfect," said Said. The four sat down at the small round table and waited for the salad. The meal was filled with friendly talk about the weather and the strange rumbling sounds really no one got used to. The whole world was changing, and it seemed that something big was coming. They did not express fear or seem panicky. "I think we'll be all right. People have been shipping things for thousands of years. This will not stop just because the world is ending. We will be fine. Don't you worry," said the dispatcher. Said was right. The lamb kebab was excellent, and the onions were sweet and perfectly caramelized. Each time they cleared their plate, the daughter brought more. Finally, they left a small amount, and she stopped feeding them. No one felt as though they would eat for a week after this meal. Boris reached for his wallet, but Said stopped him. "Boris, your company has not negotiated very well. Trust me, there is enough and to spare, even if we pay for this fine meal. Keep your wallet, and let us bless you," he said. "Thank you. I am pleasantly blessed until the button on my shirt is ready to pop," said Boris, smiling slightly, and the two men laughed, and they all stood up to leave. The restaurant owner came out to see them off. He was sweating slightly after working the hot grill and smiling broadly. "How was the meal?" "As always, it was heavenly," said Said, grabbing the smaller man by both shoulders and smiling. "Ma salama." "Ma salama, my friends," responded the owner. It was early evening when they left the restaurant. They must have been eating for the better part of 2 hours. The drive back was swift, and Boris felt renewed by the fine meal and light conversation. He climbed the stairs back to the lounge and waited for the time when the dock tractor would bring the trailer to be transferred to the road tractor. He watched TV and switched to a few channels. CNN Europe was on in English, so he watched the criticisms of the American president for withdrawing his troops from Europe and leaving NATO on their own. Millions of Americans were leaving Europe and heading back to the U.S. in anticipation of some crazy cataclysm. Every news person that came on talked about an earthquake or a volcano and why everyone was leaving the coastal cities and heading for higher ground away from the beaches. "It won't be long now," he said softly to himself. They would be covering a different topic on the news. The next few hours passed quickly. The sound of footsteps coming up the stairs outside the lounge door preceded the sound of the door opening. "Are you ready, Boris?" asked Said. "Yes, I am," said Boris. "Hamdi is on his way from the docks already," he said. "I paid a little extra to have the container loaded last on the moor, so it would come off first," said Boris. "Well, it worked. We'll make the switch quickly. The shipper and the manifest are ready. We cannot get into the Palace Hotel without them," he said. "You might as well bring your bags and put them into the truck. You won't be coming back here." "Sure, I'll get my bags out of the closet downstairs and meet you at the truck," said Boris. The container trailer was ready in the parking lot by the time Boris came out with his bag and saying goodbye to the dispatcher. He opened the door and pushed his roller bag onto the seat and climbed up to move it to the rear sleeping area. He sat on the passenger seat, and with a couple of minutes, Saeed climbed into the driver's seat and backed up to connect to the trailer. His team hooked up the pneumatic lines and lights and gave the hand signals as Saeed tested the brakes and lights. The brakes hissed their release as Saeed pressed in the clutch and began the journey to Mecca. There was still traffic, but it was moving well, and the streets were very well lit up. It seemed the city was putting on its best face for the millions of tourists that were pouring into Mecca for the Hajj. Within the hour, they were backing up to the dock at the Raffles Macaw Palace Hotel. Saeed stopped short and set the brakes. He cut the seal off the door, opened the doors, and latched them to the sides of the container. He hopped back in and backed up to the dock. He waited for the green light, showing the lock had secured the trailer, and he set the brakes. "We wait until the units are uncrated and set in place, yes?" he asked. "Yes, that is correct," said Boris. The two men walked into the logistics office, and Boris handed the man his passport while Saeed presented the shipper and manifest. "Hold, please," said the receiving manager. Within a few minutes, Mahmoud arrived in the office. "It's been a long day, gentlemen. Let's make this go swiftly, shall we?" he asked. "You have the power tools to open the crates?" asked Boris. Mahmoud picked up his radio and hacked quickly in Arabic into it. There was a short response. "They are ready, and the floor has been cleared of all unauthorized personnel, as per your written instructions," he said. "Let's go then," said Boris in his bureaucratic command voice. The forklift picked up the first two crates and set them on the floor of the well-lit loading area. The floor was painted light gray and the wheels on the forklifts were white, so the area was actually quite immaculate and bright. Boris instructed the technicians which screws to back out and the fine finished panels were set aside. The plastic bubble wrap was removed from each unit, and the forklift moved in to pick up the first whirlpool. "Quite fantastic," said Saeed. "State-of-the-art sports equipment," said Boris. The forklift set the first unit off onto the concrete floor, and the electric pallet jack moved in to pick it up. Within seconds, it was silently rolled onto the freight elevator. Boris climbed in next to it, and the swift elevator carried them to the penthouse area. The hallways were wide and covered in white Italian marble. The pallet jack moved silently down to the set of open double doors. The room was large and had skylights overhead with a sunken hot tub that looked like it would hold 20 people. "One goes here and one goes over there," said the hotel manager dressed in a black suit who was waiting for them. "The outlets you specified have already been installed." "Fine. I will stay and set this one up while you go get the other one and bring it up," said Boris. "This will only take a few minutes, and then they are ready to use. The juices are already loaded, and the instructions for reloading them are inside this panel," he said, opening the outside panel. Boris plugged in the unit, hooked up the water and drain lines, pulled the emergency stop button, and pressed the green start button. The digital display went through its diagnostics, and the tub began filling with water. By the time the next unit arrived, the water was circulating and coming up to the temperature set point. "The temperature is set here on the screen. The juice additions are preset under each heading. Believe me, anyone who tries this experience will feel like a new boy. Oh yes, one more thing. Men only. Women will not respond well to steroids and hormones made for men. Understand?" said Boris. "Yes, sir. No problem. Women for that tub, and men only for this one," said the manager, smiling. "That is correct," said Boris. "As soon as I set this one up, we'll be on our way, and your customers can enjoy." Without a wasted movement, Boris had the second unit filled and gathered up his small bag of tools. The manager took him back to the elevator and pressed the call button. "You must be a very popular man, bringing eternal life like this," said the manager. Oh, these are very special technologies. They have capabilities to bring eternal life like no other machines in the world. They were prepared especially for this application, smiled Boris. Have a good evening, sir, said the manager as the doors opened. Thank you for being professional, he said in his bureaucratic tone. The manager turned to face the surveillance camera and saluted as the doors closed and the elevator descended to the ground floor. Said already had the doors closed on the container and was waiting outside the elevator for Boris when the doors opened. You ready? We're all checked out, said Said. Let's go. We're making great time, said Boris. It's about 400 kilometers to Medina. At least the desert will be cool tonight, said Said. They climbed into the cab and Said released the brakes. I want to thank you again before we get going here, said Said. What for? Asked Boris. Well, this may be the last Hajj ever. People from all over the world are making their one pilgrimage to Mecca. This trip, I get to make the ancient journey. I am leaving Mecca to head for Medina under the new moon. It is prophetic, don't you think? I never thought of it that way, said Boris. Said grabbed the next gear and began accelerating on to the two-lane highway that led into the desert toward Medina. The stars were bright as the moon would rise dark tonight. Boris looked ahead past the lights that splashed out on the seemingly endless highway. His mind drifted back to Almaty, to that day. He could still feel the burning in his lungs as he ran up that hill in the chilly morning air. He could still smell the smoke of his apartment smoldering after the blast and the shower of water from the fire trucks. He struggled to recall his actions after he saw Sasha's hand zipped back into the body bag, but it was buried deep in a drug-induced fog. His memories and his commitment to this mission were clear and strong. He closed his eyes and leaned his head against the headrest of his seat while the tractor rocked with the tugging of the trailer behind them. He could feel the plan coming together. He was perfect at planning things. Nothing would be out of place. No one would stop him. He took a deep, long breath and settled the nervousness in his stomach. We'll arrive at the Intercontinental Medina Dar al-Iman Hotel just around midnight. Also very prophetic, by the way. If all goes just as it did, you should be in your room by 1 a.m. Not bad, Boris, said Said. That is the result of good planning and fair winds, my friend, said Boris. Fair winds indeed, Boris, said Said.